We're looking at the verdict in the Sean Diddy Combs trial. Crime and terrorism analyst Brad Garrett with us live this morning on WBEN. Combs acquitted on the most serious charges yesterday, but bail was denied. Brad, how do you look at cases like this involving celebrities?
So, I mean, you know, it's obviously multifaceted. You can look at it clearly from the behavioral standpoint about how did he get to, you know, what was alleged in court, which testimony seemed to support, to, you know, did it fit, obviously, the racketeering and sex trafficking laws? The jury didn't think so. And it was unique in that regard. I mean, racketeering RICO charges were created to go after organized crime, which now translates into gangs and drug cartels and some white collar folks. But so that makes the case unique. I think the fascination with the Combs case, I mean, the coverage of it was just unbelievable. And, you know, it sort of goes to the point of, again, you could go to testimony from court of the excesses in Mr. Combs' life. And how did he get there, and how did he feel, I guess, his feelings inside that sort of drove his behavior? In other words, the following, that people who become rich and famous can go a lot of different directions. We could talk about positive people that are super wealthy, like Warren Buffett, who, you know, lives in the same house he purchased 50 plus years ago, gives away a lot of money to charitable organizations, etc., to others who just sort of self-indulge. And that seems to be a trap for a lot of people. Naming off, we could name dozens of, you know, movie stars, rock stars that have died at an early age from drug overdoses or some other self-destructive behavior. So it all seems to kind of boil down to the following, that, you know, some people who become rich and famous feel like they're invincible. They surround themselves with people who will just do whatever they tell them to do, which clearly seems to be the case in the past for Mr. Combs. And then they feel invincible. Then they feel like that there's not consequences for what they do, and they just get lost in their addictions. In his case, again, based on testimony, it's drugs and sex. And it's just not an uncommon trap for many of these folks to fall into.
So we know how fame obviously played a factor into the coverage of this. It's you know, pretty self-explanatory. But how did it play into the case itself, both in the crimes committed and how it was tried?
Well, I mean, the fame obviously allowed him to acquire a lot of money. And in doing so, he used it in ways that were not legal. Now, fitting the definition, as I mentioned earlier, of racketeering and sex trafficking, the jury didn't feel like it fit that. But the whole idea, particularly of his drugs and sex life, that was, you know, graphically discussed in this trial. I mean, it's just a light of, you know, what does fame do to people? And I can only tell you this, that most of the research suggests that if your identity is based on fame, or you don't really have a real life like the rest of us have, that you become isolated, you become sort of a super narcissistic person who just gets and wants what they want, and nobody stops them. You don't have any guardrails on your life, which I think clearly is the case with him. And people who don't have, we all need guardrails. And if we don't have them, some people really go sideways. And it certainly appeared he has certainly had gone sideways.
The list of famous people who developed, as you call, these self-destructive lifestyles, I mean, you could go on and on, right? Michael Jackson, Matthew Perry, Whitney Houston, Seymour Hoffman, Elvis Presley, if you go way back. Have you ever seen a famous person come out of this destructive path?
Well, I think some have. I can't think of anybody offhand. I mean, some work their way through the other side of it. I mean, Matthew Perry apparently had periods where he was able to pull himself back into maybe a more normal world, but it just didn't last long. Again, all I know is what I've read about him, for example, that he admitted that he was totally addicted to fame. And obviously, fame is a fleeting thing. In particular, he was on obviously a famous show for years. Did he do other things? I'm sure he did. But did he ever have that same level that he had when Friends was popular? I mean, I don't know. But all I can say is, if that becomes your identity, then you're just sort of destined maybe to not have a very healthy, happy life.
Well, kind of seems like a lot of people have gone that way. Hey, Brad, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Brad Garrett with us live here on WBEN Crime and Terrorism Analyst, taking a look one last time at the Diddy trial.